he tears his robes, his royal robes, and underneath there is sackcloth. And in that scene, we see things that point us towards the Lord and also point us to perhaps Christian living and perhaps our position, where we both wear the royal robes and yet we carry something of the sin of this world and the pain of a lost world. That's the more familiar part of the story, but I actually want to pick it up at chapter 7. The king is angry. He's angry with Elijah, whose word previously has always brought deliverance. And here again, actually Elijah comes out with the word of deliverance. And we pick up the end of that at the beginning of chapter 7. And Elijah said, "Hear the word of the Lord. This says the Lord, tomorrow at this time, a seer of plough will be sold for a shekel, and two seers of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." So an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said to him, "Look, if the Lord would make the windows of heaven open, could this thing be?" And he said, "In fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you will not believe it." Now there were four leprous men at the entrance to the gate, and they said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we should die also. Therefore come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we will only die." And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots, and the noise of horses, and the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired the army against us of the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians to attack us." Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact. And there were their horses, their donkeys, for they had fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and then ate and drank, and they carried out from it silver and gold and clothing. And they hid them. And then they came back and entered another tent and carried away some of that also and went and hid it. Then we said to one another, "What we're doing is not right. This is the day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait here till morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now therefore, let us go and tell the king's household." So they went and they called the gatekeepers of the city, and they said, told them, saying, "We went to the Syrian camp, and were surprised to find no one was there. Not a human sound, only horses and donkeys tied. And their tents are intact." And the gatekeeper called out, and they told it to the king's household inside. And the king arose in the night and said to his servants, "Let me now tell you what the Syrians have done to us. They know we are hungry. Therefore they have gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, 'When they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive, and we will get into the city.'" And one of his servants answered and said, "Please, let several men take the 5 remaining horses which are left in the city. Look, they may either become like all or the multitude of Israel that are left in it, or indeed, I say, they may become like all the multitude of Israel were left, who were consumed. So let us send them out and see. Therefore they took two chariots with horses, and the king sent them directly to the Syrian army, saying, go and see. And then they went after them to the Jordan, and indeed the road was full of garments and weapons, and the Syrians had thrown away in their haste. So the messengers returned and told the king, and the people went out and plundered the tents of the Syrians. So a steer of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two steers of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Now the king, who had appointed the officer whose hand he had leaned on to have charge of the gate, but the people trampled him within the gate, and he died, just as the man of God had said, who spoke when the king came down. So it happened, just as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two steers of barley for a shekel, and a steer of fine flour for a shekel shall be sold tomorrow about this time at the gate of Samaria. Then that officer who had answered the man of God had said, now look, if the Lord had made the windows of heaven, could there be such a thing? And he said, in fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat it. And so it happened to him. For the people trampled him at the gates and died. Four leprous men at the gate of the city. Inside, there is famine. And there is no hope for them now. On the other side, there are the vast enemies, armies of the enemy. What are they going to do? They stay where they are, they perish. If they go into the city, they will probably perish. If they go into the army of the enemy, who knows what will happen. For those of us that seek to perhaps be faithful to the Lord in these days and be faithful to his word, very often perhaps the condition of being a leper is that's part of the way that people regard us, even within the church. If you're in the mainstream church and you're very faithful to the Lord these days, you will tend to be sidelined. If you're in an independent fellowship, you will be regarded with at least some suspicion. And there's that sense of being outside the rules, not quite part of what is going on in the city. And as far as the outside world is concerned, they would be delighted if we destroyed it together. There's that feeling of being in the condition that the lepers were in, outside the city. Well, we may have definitely no intention of surrendering to the enemy, and we may know the prophetic word, which the lepers did not know. But there is still that sense that we have to make decisions, really by faith and by trust, very often rather than by the revelation of the Lord's word that we sometimes seek. And there is a famine for the word of the Lord. In the late 80s, Scripture Union ran a campaign called Another Kind of Famine, which was highlighting the situation really amongst, mainly the young people in this land who just did not know the word of God or the Bible at all. But that famine now affects really the mainstream church, even what would be called the evangelical church. There is no real sense of understanding the word of the Lord. But also there's just a famine for the Lord's presence and the riches and the grace of our brings. There is this sense of abject poverty, desperate need that afflicts much of the church.
And the vast enemy, armies of the enemy seem to get greater every day. Those pressures of the world, those things that seek to destroy us. The whole really rise of the demonic in this land. Force seems to be pressing up against the walls, as it were. Their presence is more and more thorough every day. Which way do you go? What's the direction forward? One of my favourite books in the Bible is the Book of Acts, and two things that stand out very much there. One is the way that persecution and difficulty constantly forced the gospel out, broke up fellowships and forced them out. Distributed people across the world, constantly taking the gospel forward. The other thing is the amazing deliverance and provision of the Lord in a point of desperate need. The saints, the prison doors being opened, that sort of thing. Visions being given at moments to where the way forward is at. So maybe, for us, this story of the lepers has got something to say, something to direct us. First thing is this. There are times when you need to move forward, even if you do not know the prophetic word, even if it had been given. There was a prophetic word. Those that heard it didn't really believe it. But these lepers didn't even know it. They were left making a decision purely on their own basis of their own knowledge, their own judgment. There are times for us, particularly for those of us that are mature in the faith, that is part of living by faith, learning to trust God. But there are times when you have to make decisions that are based on what has already been revealed to you, what you know of the Word, rather than waiting for that really Word from the Lord, that prophetic Word that we so often desperately need or want. Now, when the Lord speaks, then we'll move. But sometimes the Lord wants us to move on the basis of what we already know. And sometimes it may often take desperate circumstances to force us through. Second thing is, they were honest about where they were at. If we stay here, we will perish. If we go to the city, we will perish. And in a lot of churches, there is a sense of complete denial. It's an inability to face up to where they are with the Lord and where they are in ministry. A sense that, well, things are not too bad. When their ministries are dying, when there is no word for the Lord, when the gospel is not being preached in this nation with power and conviction, from the church as a whole is not a church on its knees. We're not at the point of seeking the Lord. Where things are desperate. The lepers were honest, and that forced them to make a decision that was desperate. But at least they had a family of fools. The third thing is the point of surrender. Well, we have no. So, you know, calling to surrender to the enemy. And there are a number, probably a lot of people across the world now, even today, this hour, who will lose their life because of that. Because they will not surrender to the enemy. But I had no intention of picking up this point. But last Sunday I was very burdened. minute today about a particular issue, or a number of issues, but one particular issue. And it weighed heavily upon me. As I was walking that afternoon, it was the words of the old hymn, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Jesus I freely give, but will really give it to him. I had to go to a point where really I was releasing things to the Lord, and I came through that to a point of peace. But there is a need for these desperate moments to go again and surrender everything to the Lord. Those situations where in our own strength we have nothing left to give. When we are defeated, when the situation is hopeless, where we have to give our own abilities, our own ambitions, our own desires, our own dreams, our own hopes, back to the Lord and submit to Him. A point of surrender. But not to the end. And that's a point of freedom. The next point, next thing we know, is it was at twilight that they moved, that these lepers left their position and went towards the tents of the enemy. But to be twilight in quite a lot of ways. It's that point where before darkness is coming, but it hasn't quite descended. There is still just enough light to see. That's just enough time to finish jobs off or to move into a position. It is perhaps twilight in this nation where darkness is falling, and yet there are still very faithful works of the Lord, still blessings of the Lord. Still a chance to move. Perhaps to get things sorted and into position before things get even darker. Maybe twilight in a sense of a point, and perhaps this very near the end of the age. But twilight is also the sense of being betwixt the time, betwixt light and darkness. And in this story, this is a time of being between that point of complete failure and defeat, and the time when the Lord moves in power and deliverance and does an amazing work. And twilight for us can be like that. It's that time between where we've come to a point of need, a point of defeat, but before the Lord has actually moved in power to move it, to provide a way forward or to provide a means of deliverance. That's perhaps something particularly this week as we think about Good Friday, that time that we very much think of in those days between the crucifixion and the resurrection. There was that time of almost twilight. Darkness is falling. It appeared to be a moment of defeat at the point of crucifixion. And yet there was the word of the Lord, there was the words of Jesus. But this was not the end. And the disciples were left waiting. They didn't really know what to expect. They were sort of twilight. And then the Lord did the amazing work of the resurrection. So following a point of surrender, so after the twilight time, a time of waiting upon the Lord, until he does an amazing work. The next thing we noticed is that they were surprised. The lepers were surprised when they got to the camp of the enemy and no one was there. There should be a point that if we think the Lord is moving before us, we're moving in his grace, that we expect to be surprised. However experienced you are in the Lord's work, however many amazing things you were seeing him do, you were still moving in ways that you didn't expect. as the best these lepers could hope for, was a sense that maybe the Assyrians would just take pity on them and give them a good meal and let them go on their way. The Lord was doing a far, far greater work. He was delivering the whole city. He was delivering the people. And the lepers were surprised just to find that there was no one there. There's also a sense of being surprised. In a sense that very often when we have to move out in the Lord's work, the enemy has a very good means of making his presence perhaps greater than it really is, of being very oppressive. Very often we move forward rather with fear than anticipation and being burdened. And then we find that those things that cause us fear, those things that weigh heavily upon us, aren't actually anything to worry about at all, or are sometimes completely non-existent. The army of the Syrians was non-existent, he had fled, he had gone. It wasn't a problem anymore. They were surprised. And so the Lord moved in power. And so the Lord moved in deliverance. But it took such a tiny thing, didn't it? Just a noise to frighten and to cause to flee this large army of the Syrians. Just a little thing. It's good to be reminded, isn't it, that we serve in Almighty and all-powerful God. And it just takes the slightest move by him to destroy the works of the evil, to cause them to flee, to transform the whole situation. And sometimes how the devil makes him look his work or his presence look so much greater than it already is. There's a man handling the Conservative Party's election campaign, I think he's called Howard, but he's an Australian, and certain remarks have been made in the press about the Wizard of Oz they're projected as the Wizard of Oz. Of course, there have been those bright remarks that actually the Wizard of Oz was a fraud. It's just a little man behind a curtain. We couldn't get you to Kansas when you wanted to go. He was portrayed as being something big and all powerful, or very powerful, and he was nothing. And that's very often what the devil's work is like. It's portrayed as being far greater than it really is. It's the Lord whom we serve. Any less gracious, any less powerful than he was at Pentecost. Or when he was when the likes of Wesley and Whitfield were preaching the gospel in this nation and thousands were being saved daily. The whole life of this nation was transformed. Is the devil any more powerful? Maybe the people of God are more unbelieving, are not expected, are not waiting upon the Lord, are not seeking after her. Maybe if we want to see the Lord move in power, then we need to come to a point of surrender again. We need to be honest about where we're at, come to a point of surrender, and enter our twilight zone. So the Lord moved in power. Well, these lepers were the best perhaps they could hope, they would hope for as their lives would be spared, have this amazing wealth. All the provisions of a whole army, a whole, and the wealth of the Syrians is suddenly there. Are we in the Lord's service? Are we receiving His grace and our blessings for our own gain? Yes, there are those who are obviously in the Lord's service, more blatantly, are using that just in colour for the moment to make real things. But that's not what we've got here. These lepers were just enjoying what they found, and we might use the word celebration. They were just trying to hold on to, really, this amazing grace that had been given to them. And it's easy to do that, isn't it, in moments of great blessing, to just want to sort of hold it, to store it, to hide it, so the lepers would do. But the word is given. This is a day of good news, and we remain silent. There is always the gospel to take out. It's always a day of good news. But there's also the sense of testimony. Probably far more what this word is about. That sense of the need to share testimony to others. So very often to that unbelieving world back in the system. So the lepers go back, and of course they're confronted basically by not unbelief, by scepticism. You so often are. But there was one person there, or at least one advisor, that's prepared to give them a chance and to plead with the king for them. Which is very often the case, isn't it? Now, in the most difficult of fellowships, or difficult of that situation out there in the world, there is the one person that is open. And through that one person, a whole city, a whole load of people can be reached because they believe and they take the word back. The need to share the good news. This is a day of good news. And of course, that final thing, those who did not believe the prophetic word did not share. The amazing prophecy of the Lord. As this cynical advisor of the king that denied really the power of the prophetic word, but denied the power of God. How could the Lord provide this stuff? Or this food that was necessary to alleviate the famine? And he saw the deliverance, but it was not part of it. So apparently a hopeless situation. A situation where the only thing way forward is to go to the tents of the enemy. A situation which required the lepers to move without knowing the way of God. A situation where they had to be honest about the hopelessness of their position. A situation where they had to surrender, come to a point where they were willing to surrender. A situation where they moved to climax. A situation where they were surprised to find out what had happened, how the Lord had moved before them. A situation where the Lord moved in power and brought an amazing deliverance, amazing provision. And a situation where that provision had to be shared. And shared with the whole lot back in the city. It wasn't just for 4 men. It provided enough resources to save the whole city, the whole country. Well, may let some of those things be part of our way forward. I trust that they will be. Thank you.